to me.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios in New York City. And we welcome you to all of our sister stations, PFW in Washington, D.C., KPFK in Los Angeles, WBAI in New York, and all the other stations throughout the United States, and also broadcast in 140 countries. Today, lots of insights on how we can reverse disease. I'm going to talk about ways you can reduce your risk of colorectal cancer and pancreatic cancers. Also, we have an enormous number of young people taking steroids, growth-stimulating hormones. How would you know if you're a parent? And what should the younger people know are the side effects of taking these to get more muscle mass, to become more athletically competitive? I'll share insights on that. Also, if you want to protect yourself against the flu and season and cold season, I'll give you the latest on that in both adults and children, and how we can live the second half of our lives. Let's say the first half is 40. What do we do in the next 40 years to make a big difference? I'm going to take on that. From our environmental segment of our program today, we're going to talk about 1,200 new coal power plants and how that will absolutely ensure that we will never be able to stop runaway climate change. Where is this happening? Why aren't we discussing it? My special report today will deal with the Trans-Pacific Partnership. I'll be sharing insights from Andrew Gavin Marshall from Nation of Change. I personally believe that the Trans-Pacific Partnership Treaty that has been negotiated in total secrecy, except for the 700 lobbyists who've been actively working on this, but secret from the American Congress, from the American media, and from the American people, will be the single most dangerous treaty ever signed. It will absolutely guarantee that anything that can be made cheaper elsewhere will be. It will eviscerate the unions, the factories in the United States. It will allow foreign corporations to export toxic ingredients and products in the United States, and we will not be able to say no. And even those corporations who do business inside the United States that are foreign corporations will not be held to any current standards of protecting human or environmental or animal rights or life. You don't believe how bad something can be till you look at what's actually in it. But more importantly, I'll show you how did it get this way. And today I'm going to go into depth on how something actually happens. We want to build the step-by-step, the story of corruption, of immoral behavior on behalf of everyone involved in the process, how they all compromised honesty, decency, and ethics so they could make a profit. That will be a very important commentary. You will not want to miss that. And finally today, time permitting, Mr. President, you have a drone problem, from Robert Greenwald and a editorial in the Huffington Post. I'll share that with you. If there is time for callback, we'll open the phones and you can share your points of view. Let's begin. There really is no flu and cold season because there's no such thing of having viruses and bacteria that stop manufacturing disease at any point in the year. It's just that in the summertime and when we're outside and getting lots of sunlight and lots of vitamin D and more active, our immune systems are stronger. And therefore, when we come into contact, which we do every day, with microorganisms that could cause illness, our immune system's able to withstand that. However, once the seasons change from generally summer into fall or fall into winter, then our bodies are not as easy in that adjustment. We also tend to work harder in the fall. We get less sunlight. We tend to eat more carbohydrates and sugary foods, all of which depress our immune system, hence making us more susceptible. According to two separate articles, one in the Journal of Clinical Investigations, the other in Pediatrics, by simply taking vitamin D3, we could cut substantially colds and flu in children, and also we could cut any form of superbug in adults. The investigations from Cedars-Sinai researchers show that vitamin D3 protects against methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, or MRSA. Now, we all know that's a very, very serious type of staph infection that is resistant to most antibiotic treatment. So when people get it, they frequently die. And so now, by having vitamin D in the body, by taking 2,000 or 3,000, 4,000 units a day, that helps us, and that enhances the white blood cells' ability to combat staph infections. In fact, when vitamin D3 was tested in human blood, it boosted the immune system's staph-killing ability by 1,000-fold in a matter of hours compared to treatment with a placebo. So one more reason why we should be taking our vitamin D3 every day. Similarly, in children, they tested a group of children, and they gave them vitamin D3 at a smaller dose, only 300 units, but they found also that it helped prevent 48% fewer respiratory infections in the children over the course of the study. Two different groups, same nutrient, vitamin D3, good for us. Now, according to the Journal of Alzheimer's Disease, they published a study that evaluated the effects of a nutritional supplement combination on cognitive function in older men and women. The participants were 65 or older, and they were given 290 milligrams of EPA and 200 milligrams of DHA and lycopene, 84 milligrams, and 240 milligrams of ginkgo. And they were given every day for 3 years. And then another group was given a placebo. And then they tested them. They found that tests of cognitive function, including attention, memory, language, and reasoning skills they gave throughout this, showed that they improved substantially in the group given the supplements. So one more reason, as we age, we should be focusing upon nutrients for cognitive function. And those are easy to get. By the way, the ones I would have suggested to improve nutrient function weren't even any of the ones they gave. Those are lightweight. Like DHA, I couldn't see where that would make any difference in cognitive function, but it could turn off inflammation in the brain. That's good. Lycopene, it's an antioxidant to protect from free radicals, but it's not going to improve cognitive function. Had they used glycerophosphorylcholine, phosphatidylserine, then they could have improved actual function. Also, according to the peer-reviewed journal Cancer Epidemiology, Biomarkers, and Prevention, research at the University of Hawaii Cancer Center show that vitamin B6, when it's at higher levels, less breast cancer. Lower levels, more breast cancer. One more way that we can help prevent breast cancer. Now, vitamin B6 is converted in the body into pyridoxal 5-phosphate, and that lowers the risk of invasive breast cancer, especially in postmenopausal women. I would suggest 25 to 50 milligrams a day, more than enough to make a difference. Also, I have mentioned many times that there is no such thing as being overweight and healthy. There is such a thing as being overweight and showing no clear clinical evidence or symptoms of any disease. And that's what frequently confuses people. Oh, my doctor gave me a clean bill of health. Well, do you remember President Clinton at his annual physical? Went to some of the best doctors in America, and they gave him a full clean bill of health 3 weeks later, he was rushed in for emergency triple bypass surgery of his heart, or he would have died. How do they miss it? Because they're looking for really clinical signs, symptoms. So if you don't manifest those, and all illnesses start off as subclinical, meaning very small changes in your DNA on a daily basis, and then over a period of time, by our diet, high in fried foods and too much protein, too much sugar, then you start to get little tiny defects, which in time become lesions. And in time, your primary sheath, the actual surface of your arteries, the endothelial tissue, begins to shrink and calcify. And then it makes it harder for blood to get through. That increases the likelihood of having a heart attack or a stroke. The major artery going into your neck, your carotid artery, it occludes, it clogs, making it more difficult for blood to get into the brain. As a result, you don't see it. You don't feel it. There are several hormones, and one of the most lethal is C-reactive protein. The next lethal is homocysteine. I've seen people come to me with their blood work, and they have a homocysteine of 30. That's very high, and that puts them at risk. And almost always then they have AFib, didn't know it. And they said, well, how is it my doctor never told me, as a 45-year-old man who runs, that I had to check my homocysteine or C-reactive protein? The assumption was if I wasn't overweight and I was a runner, I'd be healthy. Well, remember Jim Fix? Jim was a great athlete. He was a marathoner, and he dropped dead. I used to train with him, and he had a bad diet. But because he was a great athlete, he never considered the diet important, just the performance. And I said, you know, you can be a great athlete and have terrible nutrition, and your biochemistry is not good. People don't pay attention to the basics. So the absence, the takeaway message is this: the absence of any definitive symptoms does not mean that you're healthy. The first symptom you may have may be a heart attack or a stroke. So I'm suggesting that realize that it's easy to do this. Just look at everything you eat and drink on a daily basis, and the amount of exercise and type you do, the amount of stress that you have and how you respond to it, the type of environment you live in. And you add all that together, and then you see if you're more likely to have been processing wellness or disease. So that said, then you look at something as simple as sugar in the diet. Now, I'm going to do a definitive report on sugar. We just have two major articles up on my website today. One is from Mother Jones that shows the politics and the brilliant PR campaign that the sugar industry put together for the last 50 years to convince people that sugar is good, not bad. And step by step, Mother Jones reporters showed how it was all contrived. It was all built upon lies. It was important to me because there was a time in the 1970s where I was the lead debater in all of America on every issue involving health. Every week I get a call. Oh, Gary, this is Bob Crane over here at NBC Network Radio, and we'd like for you to come over and debate Fred Stairs' protege on sugar. Okay, so I go over, and I had all these articles from major scientific journals showing sugar and how it harmed. And then there'd be the counter-argument. Well, there's no consensus. There's no definitive study. In fact, here are some studies. And then it was up to the audience to decide what they wanted to believe and which of us they thought had the best arguments, if either. And you always came out of these debates. I did dozens and dozens of debates with this kind of sense of, gee whiz, did it really make a difference? Because they would always bring physicians or Harvard PhDs And I was neither. And as a result, I was just there as an educated consumer, as an activist. So the truth was not what was at issue. It was who could make the most convincing argument. Now, when we look back, we realize that many of the studies being cited as proof of sugar's safety were actually funded studies by the sugar industry with scientists who had also been affiliated with the tobacco industry or the pesticide industry. So the very same scientists who had lent their names to DDT safe or Agent Orange safe and cigarette is safe was now saying sugar was safe. And they knew at the time that it wasn't, because internal documents that Mother Jones uncovered show that they've been lying all along. And as a result, people who I would debate may have been well-intentioned, may not have known that the arguments they were using were wrong studies. But it's important that you read this to see how an entire industry has caused the death of hundreds of thousands of people per year from sugar-related, high-fructose-related diabetes deaths, heart disease deaths, obesity deaths, and they take no responsibility. The lies continue. And this is also true with the meat industry and the coffee industry and the alcohol industry. Every industry has its own trade groups that go out there and manufacture consent and attack anyone, myself included, but I expect that. I don't really care. But they attack the messenger. They destroy the message. And now, because they have so much wealth, and because they're really good at working together, they buy ads on television. They create nutrition literature for schools, all of which are misinformations. So I thought that was important, because even if we have good evidence, good scientific evidence, they have the power of propaganda. And propaganda almost always wins. Always. In everything. Just like right now with the conflict between Israel and Hamas. Not looking at the larger picture, not seeing the totality, not putting everything together. And it's propaganda. In any case, here's the latest study from neurology. High normal blood sugar could adversely impact the brain. This is a major peer-reviewed journal, and this is a study. And here's what it says, that high normal plasma glucose, now that's when you take a reading of your blood sugar in the morning, fasting level, and I recommend everyone in this audience get that done. I just had my second annual, I have my blood work up because of insurance for my companies. I have to have every single virus, bacteria, everything measured twice a year and complete EKG and cardio stress test, the whole thing. And I'm actually not opposed doing that, because at least lets me see if all my traveling and all my work schedule has caused any impact on me. And the blood sugar should be ideally between maybe 60 to 75, 80, but it shouldn't be up around 110. That would be bad. But how would you know if your sugar's normal or not? You wouldn't know. You couldn't feel the difference. Again, it's asymptomatic. And that's why we probably have 50 to 60 million Americans who have pre-diabetes. That means they're highly likely to get diabetes and more likely to die of heart attack and stroke, shortened life expectancy, but they don't have any symptoms. They don't know. That's why blood sugar can help you. But this is the first study of its kind to show the following, quote, high normal plasma glucose levels and a decrease in brain volume in regular men, non-diabetic men and women. And here's what it says. It says that those who had 110 milligrams per deciliter, which for a lot of people would be considered normal, that significantly shows a decline in a person's hippocampus and amygdala, which is the cerebral structures affecting the brain. And that means that you are having your brain adversely affected every time you have that elevated sugar. Now, I'm saying when you're overweight, you're unhealthy, even if you have no symptoms, because you haven't looked at the inflammatory markers in your body. You haven't looked at free radicals in your body. You haven't looked at DNA damage in your body, and that can take years. But now it's affecting your brain. Also, don't forget to drink your green tea. According to Molecular Nutrition and Food Research, the EGCG, those are the polyphenols found in green tea, are beneficial on the brain. And that's good information. I'm suggesting non-caffeinated green tea, 250 to 1,000 milligrams a day, would be really good for you. And finally, reduce vitamin D levels linked to critical childhood illnesses. This is in the peer-reviewed journal Pediatrics. This was done at Children's Hospital of Eastern Ontario. And what it showed was that when children do not have enough vitamin D3, they're far more likely to have multiple risks of different childhood conditions. So make sure that your child has and your baby has vitamin D3. It's that simple. I mentioned I would talk about steroids for a moment. I'm one of those individuals who believe that winning is secondary in importance to staying healthy and staying ethical to your body. Those athletes who are so insecure themselves that they have to cheat by using the steroids in any field do themselves harm also, because at the end of the day, they've adversely affected the normal body biochemistry. Well, looking at the power of winning and looking at how we adulate, how we so exaggerate the significance of victory, winner-take-all mindset, very reptilian, very primordial. But we reward that. So now it's win at any cost. So more teens are turning to steroids. Here is the latest. This is done at the University of Minnesota, published in the journal Pediatrics. Teens are, quote, from Medical News today, teens are risking their health in order to bulk up and get toned by using anabolic steroids. And during this study of 2,700 teens from high schools, just in one area, in the Minneapolis area, they were mostly around 14 years old. The results showed that almost 6% of boys and 5% of girls involved in the study had used steroids, which is illegal without a prescription. And they also said that 10% of teens have used other non-steroidal things to bulk up. Here's the symptoms that they should know can happen to them. Yes, you increase muscle mass. That can happen. But you're also going to get hair loss. And your hair will get very greasy because you secrete an excessive amount of sebum. You can also have men growing breasts, similar to female breasts. It's called gynecomastia. You can have an increase in the thickness of body hair, not on your head, so on your arms, on your back, on your legs. You can have extreme shifts in appetite from complete loss of appetite to extreme skin. You can get jaundice, which is yellowing of the skin, and that can show liver damage. You can have skin lesions and infections and cysts all over the body. You can have too little energy. Your sleep patterns can be very disruptive, so you can't sleep. You can have sudden weight loss. You'll have problems urinating. Your skin will be very oily. You can end up with stretch marks and dizziness, nausea, vomiting, shakiness, red and purple acne spots, and constant bad breath. Also, you can have personality and psychiatric alterations in your body because of steroid use. For example, severe mood swings, very aggressive behavior, being physically, mentally abusive, suffering from depression, having hallucinations, experiencing paranoia, and making poor decisions. So on the one hand, since we have many soccer moms and dad, we have those who want their kids to be the best and to get ahead. And life's tough, so take advantage of anyone else's weakness. And you don't see it just in athletics. You see it in overstressing children to overcompensate and to overcompete at everything they do. Well, when it comes to steroids, you're going to pay a physical price for it. You start taking steroids when you're a teenager, you're likely to have brain tumors and cancers and heart disease in your 20s and 30s. That's the price you're going to pay. So you're going to win, and you'll beat the competition that's playing fairly. But I don't think you're going to like your reward down the road. I'm Gary Nall. That's our Health and Nutrition segment. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Have you with us today, everyone? Just a thought here. We have put a major, original, in-depth investigative reporting white paper article up on our website. It is free. It's there as a public service. So we have one article showing you everything that's wrong with sugar in any form, with all of its scientific references. And then we have the Mother Jones article on the whole history of how sugar was allowed to stay in our food supply. And the two together totally indict sugar. So by all means, go to either Gary Nall, that's GaryNull.com, or ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com, and download and use it, and please share it with other people. That's what we do these for. In a moment, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. This is what corporate governance really looks like, from Andrew Gavin Marshall. Also, the environmental segment on 1,200 new coal plants, what that will do. And yes, Mr. President, you have a drone problem, from Robert Greenwald. I just want to mention two things to all of our audience. Coming up in a few weeks, I will be premiering my newest full-feature documentary, which we're working on round the clock as I speak. This is about your food. It is the most comprehensive, in-depth, honest look at how our food is grown, how genetically engineered food is grown, the consequences of that, and we open every door that's been closed. I take you into the Himalayas. I take you into India. I show you the results of genetically engineered cotton and 250,000 suicides. How about that for a side effect gone wrong? The unintended consequence of a product they should never have used. I'll show you what they're doing in Mexico and in Brazil when it comes to growing genetically engineered foods. In Canada, I'll show you the lawsuits and the farmers who did nothing wrong but were sued by Monsanto. I'll show you Monsanto's true background. I'll take you into their criminal behavior. I'll show you the Wall Street firms and other firms that do business with them. I'll show you how they bought access to the White House, to the FDA, to the USDA. They are not going to like this film, and I'm inviting them to the premiere. I'd like to see them. I'd like to see their lawyers sit side by side with my bulldog lawyers, the guys who don't work by the hour like theirs and my guys. I'd like to have a conversation afterwards, because we're taking on Monsanto. We're taking on the White House. We're taking on the USDA. We're taking on the FDA. We know who the enemy is of the American public and who are willing to allow Americans to become human guinea pigs, as if this is just another case of they're there to eat our food, they're there to drink what we're going to give them, and without complaining. And if they do, we assure you the scientists that we own who will say it's okay. Well, it's not okay. So we're pushing back. They were able to win in California by a tiny margin because they bought the vote. With almost $50 million spent on propaganda, and none of it true, and we break down all their arguments, clearly showing you how the people in California, unfortunately, went from being anti-GMO foods and yes to its labeling to thinking that GMO foods were fine and shouldn't be labeled. Well, this is New York, and we play a lot rougher than those in California, and we won't tolerate the crap that goes on out there. So we're asking, we're calling out Monsanto, come on the show and debate me. Bring your best scientists for hire on. Let's see what the public thinks after the debates. I want this public to come to the showing, the screening. It's only one time it's going to be. It's going to be on December 6th, 7 p.m. We have the largest theater at the Lowe's Theater on the Upper West Side. Give a call now or go to our website and you can sign up and get on there. And any of the proceeds beyond the cost of the movie, the theater rental, will go to help support Feeding the Hungry in Florida through the Daily Bread and the homeless vets groups run by George Taylor. I'm going to give everyone who comes a copy of the film to take home with them. I want this to be shared with as many people as possible. I'm also going to give a hardback book, Living in the Moment, Prescription for the Soul, because I thought it would be nice to, in this time of the year, to give something where people can look at the human condition and say, as bad as it seems to be, what can we do to make it better ourselves? What can we do to live a longer, healthier and happier, more ethical life? That's the book. The documentary, it tells you the truth. If you're ready for the truth, and I know the people in this audience are, then join me, because we're going to start our campaign to get new legislation in Vermont, in Connecticut, in New Jersey, and in New York to say no to GMOs and to say yes to labeling. We're going to do it here, and this is one of the primary tools to be used. Call 646-926-5422, 646-926-5422 to sign so you can get in. And I'm hopeful some of the people in Washington, D.C. will come up. It's on a Thursday, but if you can make it up, I will make sure you have a seat if you come from out of town, all right, because we're expecting an absolutely packed house. And I know that the people listening right now on PFW, some of you say, hey, that'd be worth taking a train up, and you bet, all right? I'm looking forward to seeing you. Again, join us for the world premiere of the new documentary on genetically modified foods. You're going to get such an education because we have filmed stuff that no one else has. We have interviews no one else has. We have evidence no one else has. We have whistleblowers no one else has. 646-926-5422. Also, that is the only New York time that it'll be shown. One evening only, one showing. But on Sunday, December 9th at 2 p.m. at Long Island's Cinema Arts Center, that's on Park Avenue out there in Huntington, Long Island, I will also be out there because I always like to have the people on Long Island have a chance to see the films I do. And we've shown five documentaries in the last year and a half out there. They've all been packed houses. And we thank the Cinema Arts Center for inviting us to show our films out there. Tickets are available at the Cinema Arts Center box office or online at cinemaartcenter.org. I'll give you a number to call. And by the way, there's a discount for WBI members. 1-800-838-3006. This is for the Cinema Arts Center one-time only showing. 1-800-838-3006. And they will also receive out there a free copy of the GMO film on of the film, the DVD, and a book, hardback book, as well. Mr. President, you have a drone problem. Quote from President Obama, January 2012. I want to make sure that people understand actually, drones have not caused a huge number of civilian casualties. For the most part, they have been very precise. Precision strikes against al-Qaeda and their affiliates. We are very careful in terms of how it's been applied, end quote. All right. Glenn Greenwald. I've interviewed many people over the years of doing documentaries, currently in Pakistan filming with victims of drone attacks. I've never had a more haunting and harrowing experience than looking into the eyes of person after person, children and adults, and hearing them talk about their homes and villages and families destroyed by drone attacks. The pain is palpable. Their fear still radiates. And even a question about the CIA sets off terror alerts in their eyes. From White House Press Secretary Jay Carney, quote, "A hallmark of our counterterrorism efforts has been our ability to be exceptionally precise, exceptionally surgical, and exceptionally targeted," end quote. Glenn Greenwald, a father with his daughters and sons, holds up a picture of his mother, grandmother to his children. She was working in a field one day in late October. As he was coming home from teaching school, he saw someone preparing a grave. It was to be the grave of his mother, killed by U.S. drone strike. News reports say, quote, three militants were killed. Days later, the full story of her death came out, to be denied by the, quote, official sources, who are never named and therefore never held responsible. For constant distortions is gut-wrenching for him. He brought a picture of his mother's identity card. He held it up for me and the camera to show this gray-haired 65-year-old woman was no terrorist. He asked that the CIA and Americans come to his village and see the damage and who was hurt and killed. Quote, "With the unprecedented ability of remotely piloting aircraft to precisely target a military objective while minimizing collateral damage, one would argue that never before has there been a weapon that allows us to distinguish more effectively between al-Qaeda terrorists and innocent civilians." That's Assistant to the President of Homeland Security and Counterterrorism, John Brennan. Glenn Greenwald. A young boy tries to talk to me. Working through a translator, he can't remember my question for a few seconds. He talks of the stomach pain that makes him very discomforting. And it's impossible for him to play cricket. He shows me his scars. His eyes have gone dead from the pain. He stills in fear of the terror shock from the drone hitting him and his friends. He starts to tear up when talking about his love of cricket and never being able to play again. The damage from drones does not end with the strike. Another young boy tells of a drone strike that killed and injured his relatives. He was held back from running to help them because of fear of a second strike, what's called a double tap. He broke away, he insisted. It was his family and friends who needed help. Then he was hit by a drone. From senior Obama administration official, quote, "There is still a very firm emphasis on being surgical and targeting only those who have a direct interest in attacking the U.S. Crucially, the threat of a double dip tap deters not only the spontaneous humanitarian instinct of neighbors and bystanders in the immediate vicinity of strikes, but also professional humanitarian workers providing emergency medical relief to the wounded living under drones." In conclusion, then there is the rage and the fury, the cries of revenge, the terror, talk of honor and family, the fury over the war on Muslims. As the day goes on, the stories go on, it's hard not to become numb as a response to the grieving and the grief. From the Pakistan ambassador to the United States, Sherry Riemann, "America's drone war radicalizes foot soldiers, tribes, and entire villages in our regions," end quote. Yet none of that will you hear in any press conference nor any discussion in our media. Now to our environmental section. I recently saw a documentary that's playing down at Lincoln Cinema Arts on 65th Street, right behind Lincoln Center, called Chasing Ice. I hadn't known of the cinematographer who had done it, but evidently has a good reputation and doing nature photography. And the film is about a single issue. what is happening to the ice around the world. Because in order to understand global warming and increased level of hurricanes and flooding, you have to understand that a lot of it happens when industries, including some of the biggest polluter, like a cattle from methane, which is about 18% of the problem. So if we went vegan, that would cut that out. But then you have these coal-burning and fossil fuel plants. And yet we keep hearing about clean coal and supporting coal. Well, there's nothing clean about coal. What this film does, unlike any I have seen, in which case I highly recommend it, is it shows you at the beginning of a film just some ice at the water's edge in Iceland, where he is standing, to his efforts to set up a series of cameras, several dozen cameras, in Iceland, Greenland, Alaska, and Montana, and allow them to take time-lapse photographs over a period of 5 years. So therefore, he can then measure where the glaciers were 100 years ago and where they are today and how fast they're melting. It is a sobering reminder of our arrogance, our ignorance, and our hubris. Because what he shows, as no one has ever shown before, and he deserves all the credit for doing this, is that we have caused, through global warming, more melting of the glacier in the last 9 years than it occurred in the previous 100 years. Because there are photographs and timelines that show all this. But then you get to see in time-lapse how all this happens. And then you get to see something that I'll be showing you later on, but not right now because I haven't finished in the 12 tipping points. When he's on Greenland, which is about 3 times size of Texas, and there's this 2-mile deep ice on it, and it's the second largest body of ice that's not in the ocean in the world, it would raise the ocean about 20 feet if it all melted. He shows you with a camera going over the side of this cliff in the ice. It looks like Niagara Falls. Massive amounts of water pouring 24/7 going down these crevices, of which there are hundreds of thousands of these crevices, going down and hitting the bottom of the ice cap, which would be the rock. And then that acts like a skid, and it moves the whole glacier into the water. He also shows you the largest calving of ice in history. It is mammoth. It's like 5 miles long, 600 feet high, and you see small calving, small piece of ice breaking off. This is about half the size of Manhattan, and it all breaks and it all topples, and when you see it, you think, wow. That's what's happening. It's rapidly happening. There's no control over it, and it's gone beyond control. So will the oceans rise? You bet. Much higher than anyone predicted? Absolutely. Mathematical model to predict this? Not at all. All we have to know is it's happening, and nothing is going to be done to stop it. Nothing. So that, I wished I had a happy ending to that story. There is no happy ending. The good news is that we can take responsibility for ourselves and our families by looking at the world we live in and looking at better places to live, where we live in a sustainable environment and not where we're going to be stupidly rebuilding home after home, building after building, as if there's not going to be another tomorrow worse than today. This is from Common Dreams. 1,200 new coal plants ensure runaway climate change. Quote, even as coal use in the United States declines, a report released by the World Resources Institute reveals that 1,200 new coal plants are planned worldwide, more than three-quarters in China and India. And it says, quote, this is the equivalent of adding another China to the world, the world's biggest emitter. India is going to have 455 new plants, China 363 plants, with dozens also planned for America. And from the World Meteorological Organization states that carbon dioxide and methane and nitrogen oxide levels hit a record high last year, 30% increase in the amount of heat trapped since 1990. quote, this is definitely not in line with a safe climate scenario. It will put us on a really dangerous trajectory, says the director of the report. Now, what does this mean in lay language? Everything industry can do, not just the Koch brothers, but all major industry, has done nothing, zero, zip, to put the environment and the future of our planet ahead of its profits. As a result, it is bot science. It is manufactured consent and consensus in order to keep us saying, well, we don't have enough research, we don't have enough proof. And as a result, they haven't had to put their profits into cleaning up. We haven't put our profits as a nation and our money into building the kind of sustainable energy for the future, such as solar, and out, not in your backyard, wind towers. I don't want to see wind towers in anyone's backyard because, A, they're noisy, B, they're environmentally unstable. But if you put them in the Rockies, you put them offshore, then they can create a lot of wind and energy. Also, geothermal and then wave power. We're not doing that. That's what we should do. And there's technologies now in the world that can help us do that because they've already done it. Instead, we're putting in nuclear, coal plants, gas hydrofracking, and oil well exploration. We're doing everything absolutely wrong. And there is a consequence to pay. So will we change our ways? We can't change our ways. It is too late. We have tipped. What you saw with Sandy was just one small, minor, compared to what is major coming. It is never minor when you lose your house, when someone dies, when you have millions thrown into darkness, when companies cannot broadcast, when you have no food or water, when the agencies should have been prepared and had the money but chose not to do anything preemptively. There were no generators here, which they had. There were no gas trucks that they could have had here. There was no millions of gallons of water waiting, Port of Sands waiting, emergency hospital waiting. There was nothing, all after the fact. But that's the way it has been and will continue to be. Bureaucracies don't function as reasonable people would. As a result, consider everything we experience this year the easy part of the future. That will be the low end of norm. You can expect a Category 2 or 3 or 4 hurricane to be coming on the east coast of the United States in the next year or two. And then imagine the devastation. Now, I'm going to open up. I'm looking at the clock, and I don't have enough time today to do the Trans-Pacific Partnership, what I would consider the single most dangerous piece of legislation ever in American history as far as it impacts our future. I will deal with this tomorrow. Yes, I'll be on tomorrow, even as it is a holiday. But I want you to know that I intend to continue to do more and more on this because the American public is totally unaware of this. The media hasn't touched on it. We will do an in-depth investigation on it. Let us now open our phones for our talkback segment on any issue that you feel motivated to share your thoughts, your challenges, your questions. Please do so. Our number is 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. I'm Gary Nall. We're going to take a brief break. And by the way, I want to mention, I have a lot of people who show up every day in our offices wanting help. I try to work with all the people who have the most serious conditions, but for people who need help with losing weight and changing their lifestyle and helping them through some important issues and getting them a really good diet, I've hired 4 really good people to do that for you. So don't bring those issues to my office because I can't help you. My schedule is packed. I do set time aside. I do counsel every day of the seriously ill, those who have been given a death sentence from their doctor. In fact, they actually have a letter from their doctor saying they're terminal. There's nothing more that can be done to them, for them. That's when I go to work and try to help them. But for everyone else, just call 212-874-4000, 212-874-4000, and we now have an herbalist, master's in clinical nutrition, University of Bridgeport, and BS nutrition and exercise sciences from CUNY, like Michael Pellegrino. He's one of our newer ones and really talented. All these people have wonderful personalities there to help you. So at least for free is a public service. So they're helping you. So at least you have someone to sit and speak with. Let's say hello to Al from the Rockaways. Hi, Al. Your turn.
Hey, Gary. I'm just calling because I attended your show on Saturday 2 weeks ago about how to survive any major disaster. And there's something that I didn't pick up during the presentation. One was about the solar flares, where exactly it would hit. And you also mentioned that we should go somewhere where there would be a reliable internet connection to get news. But where would that, where
okay,
in your mind would that be?
The solar flares are expected to hit in the northern hemisphere and less likely to impact on the southern hemisphere. I explained that we have an aging and decrepit grid in the United States. It long ago should have been made a major focus to repair it and replace it. But the utility companies don't want to spend the money. The government doesn't want to spend the money. As a result, it hasn't been helped. So that's, and then you have to look at the line where the most nuclear power plants are. And they're on the East Coast, running from mid-Florida, clear up, and across the United States into Illinois, and then jumping over to the West Coast and running down the coast. Those are where your biggest problems would be if there is a solar flare that is bad enough. And what we don't know how bad it will be. We hope that it's the best, but we should plan for the worst. And I said that if you go on NASA's website, there you can have an idea of how often the solar flares are coming off, on a regular basis, by the way, but they're not coming towards us right now. Our concern is what happens when we're in the trajectory of one of those coming at us. And therefore, you will have anywhere from 6 to 10 hours or so advance notice. It's on their website. Okay? All the best to you. Reuben from Virginia. Hi, Reuben.
Hi, Gary. How are you doing today?
Great. Thank you.
And happy Thanksgiving to you and the rest of the people listening. I'm interested, you mentioned the Koch brothers very frequently. In what way are they connected with industry, and are they connected with any particular company or industry group?
They're connected with multiple utilities, And these multiple utilities are putting effluents that have been cited in violation after violation right into the environment. Workers have complained and have brought actions for environmental illnesses. Many of these are known carcinogens. They have not put the filtration systems on their plants, including their power plants, that would prevent a lot of the pollution that goes into the air that leads to global warming. There's a documentary on the Koch brothers, a very good documentary. I first saw it on Link TV, and it's about the Koch brothers, so you could educate yourself and get all the rest you want on the Koch brothers. But it's not, let us be very clear. There are thousands of factories, and there are hundreds of corporations that are involved in causing excessive amounts of carbon pollution to go into the environment. And remember, that just doesn't go away. We have a couple hundred years of this pollution still in our environment, and that is what contributes to global warming. We're coming up to the end of our regular program, and for those of you who only listen to our 55-minute segment, we thank you for listening. And the number again to call for coming to the world premiere of our GMO film, which is a must-see, is 646-926-5422. Now, I'm going to continue on and take some calls from people since our board is full. And we have Lou and Panessi standing by to read some of your calls. And you can continue to listen by going to 832-280-0066, 832-280-0066. So let's say hello to John. Hi, John. John from California, how's it going?
Oh, real good. What I wanted to ask you, where would be a safe place to go If you lived in the Orange County, L.A. County, that would be safe till after these solar storms pass over, like Las Vegas, Lofton, Arizona. Where would be a safe place I could escape to?
Southwest. I would go into Texas. You're not that far away. That would be the safest place to go because they're on the Mexican grid, and they would not be impacted, from what I have researched, as much as what you would be impacted if there's a serious solar storm and the power goes out in your area. Okay? And let's say hello to Luann Panessi. Hi, Luann.
Hello, Gary. I have a couple of quick emails here. One is from Carl, and he said, Gary, I just lost 61 pounds of fat, and I now have a 31-inch waist, and my body is ripped, and all because I'm following your protocols and using your materials. So he says, I'm 44 years old, and I was just looking at your photo album on your homepage, and you had a photograph taken last week, and you compared it with pictures from, is this right, 38 years ago? In the same pose, and you haven't aged at all. And he said, clearly my personal experience shows me what is possible. Thanks for being the inspiration that you are. And he says, I'm going to start doing the same thing every year, and I'll take a picture in the same pose to see if I can hold back the aging process as well.
All of us have looked at photo albums from when we were young or married or with family and friends and trips. And then if you look today, then you have to say what happened in that period of time. And sometimes we'll go to a high school reunion and it reminds us of the aging process. And so what I started earlier on in my career to do is I wanted to see how I personally would age. And so I took a photograph. I get in my gym shorts and I take a couple different photographs, different poses, just to see my musculature. That's why I'm doing it, just to show what kind of definition and I have. And then to get a close-up in the sun, no makeup, so at least I see the texture and quality of my skin. All right? And I do this every year, but I also do it, I'd like to compare them in, like, as if I can, in 10-year segments. And so 2 weeks ago, when I took these photographs, and then I compared them to ones that were taken 20 years ago, and there are others that are, 30 years ago, then you can see. And the only difference is that the one from 10 years ago, I had bulked to 195. The one I took was at 180, simply because of all my traveling. I'm living on powders and don't really sit for a lot of meals that I normally would. And now that I'm back in New York, that'll change. But then you look at things. You look at your skin. You look at the texture of your skin, the elasticity of your skin, whether you have wrinkles or not, the quality of your hair, whether you're receding or not. All of these show us, give us a picture into the aging process. And that's what I wanted to see. And and when I look now at the pictures, and anybody can go to GaryNull.com and take a look and look under photographs, and you'll see. You'll see a bunch of photos. There are other photos of similar poses, but there wasn't enough space to put them all on. You'll see that there's very, very, very little, almost imperceptible level of aging. And it's not because I'm anything unique genetically. All my family are dead. My uncles, aunts, except for my brother Steve. The difference is cause and effect. It's really simple. If you protect your cells with phytonutrients and antioxidants, if you repair your cells, if you watch your biochemistry, and so you at least know if it's in balance or out of balance, and mine can go out of balance as well as anyone else's. If I overtrain, if I do a really long race, my body goes into immunosuppressive state. I have to recover it. I have rest. Your chi can go into a repressive state where you work too hard, in which case your vital chi goes down. So if you keep a simple awareness that everything you do should be supporting the life force, then there's no reason to prematurely age the life force. It's that simple. The trouble is standing in between us making right choices and choices that show us a picture that we don't want to see, a look back from the mirror that scares us, is when we should have said no, we said yes, and we ate the wrong things, drank the wrong things, did the wrong things, and it all accumulates, and that's the key. It's not the next day that you have to be concerned. It's what happens a year, two, or five down the road. And now the full weight of everything you've made happen that's wrong, it manifests. But also the opposite is true, too. If you just are conscious and you make the right choices, it, too, will manifest in showing you a different face in the mirror, one that is still youthful, a body that's still strong, a musculature that is still still vibrant and able to allow you to do things you want to do. So that's what that is. And I hope that people get the message, to get their blood chemistry done, and get photographs taken without makeup, and out without, in good quality light, close up, and show, and then keep it for yourself. And 12 months later, do it again, and get another blood chemistry, and then match them. And that'll give you a good indication if you're making right choices or not. And that's all the time we have. Thank you, Luann.
Okay.
And for all of you who are listening, I appreciate you taking your time to listen. I'm Gary Nall. Have a nice day, everyone. And now stay tuned for Utrecht Lead here on the Progressive Radio Network.